Hello and welcome to Connectivity 240. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Carmine Red.
I am the prize master.
And once again, Xander Morningstar.
Hello, hello. I am not the prize master.
Wah!
What prizes do we have today, Carmine?
Oh, God. Don't remind me.
So today we're going to be talking about whatever we've been playing recently, and also a little bit about some general thoughts on what we think the Mario movie could be like. But first, yeah, we'll jump into whatever we've been playing, and Xander, how about you start?
Alright, lately I've been playing the original Paper Mario on the Nintendo 64.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, lucky! Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So I'm a very big fan of the series, and it is the only one that I have not played. The Thousand Year Door, however, is one of my top five favorite games of all time. So, bit of a funny thing. I've just never had a chance to play the original, but I'm doing that now.
I have to say I have a personal connection to that game. I was in the hospital, and, you know, there's children's wards, so they can wheel in, like, a TV and a video game system, and that's what I played. I played Paper Mario on the N64.
Wow, that's awesome. So, that's a good game to play.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish it.
Right. It's a long one.
I could. But yeah, that was that so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it just because I will defend that game
tonight. Well, I don't have a whole lot of complaints against it other than I think the Thousand Year Door is just the same game but better. I really like it. It's got some funny dialogue. It's interesting to see how the Thousand Year Door like builds off of it. How like so many things I think I take for granted with the sequel that they didn't have in the first one. Like the partners don't have health. It's this weird thing where they can take damage, but like they don't actually have a health meter, so they'll just sometimes not be able to fight for their turn. It's neat. It's a little slow. It's fine. I'm enjoying it. I feel like the chapters, I don't know if they take longer or if I'm just slower because I know the Thousand Year Door like the back of my hand, but I have noticed that I just finished the desert world and I felt like the grind through that huge desert was a little tedious. Like I went through and I explored all of it and I looked up a map online after I went through it all, and it's a 7x7 grid of identical squares. Yeah. So it's fine. I really do like it. But yeah, I mean it's a very old game that I totally understand why people like so much. It's neat that Bowser is the villain, even though he's been the villain in the later games. It is neat to see how they actually like made him a very comical villain, but one that is like, okay, you know, you've seen Bowser kidnap Peach in every Mario game, but like this is like actually seeing what they're up to when the kidnapping is over with, you know? Because most Mario games, it's just you trying to get to the castle to save Princess Peach, but you never really see what's going on there. So I really like that aspect. It's very much in the same vein of what Peach does at the Exnaught base in the Thousand Year Door. And some of the tasks you do are very similar. But again, I do think that it's very cool, like how the dialogue is written and how there's like some stealth missions. You know, I just played the part where Peach like has to sneak out of the room and not get touched or seen by the guards. They're all walking around and they're terrifying metal and they've got like these flashlights and it's all dark. It's like, oh man, this is so cute, but also like, oh man, this is so different for a Mario game. So I'm really liking it a lot. Feel free to share what you guys think about it, and
It's cool how you can like actually play as Peach basically in those segments, and like they could have easily just made those like non-playable story parts, but being able to walk around as Peach and sort of do some like small tasks is pretty cool. I've actually struggled to finish Paper Mario though. I sort of played it back when it came out on the N64, but I didn't own it. And then I played through a good chunk of it on the Wii Virtual Console. And then I think, last year sometime, I said, I may as well try and start it again and go from the start on the actual N64. And I got up to, like, the Haunted Castle again. I kind of burn out by the time I get just, like, around the Haunted Castle part, which is, I think, the bit after the desert, for memory.
That is where I'm headed next.
I don't think I've gone much further than that section. I think I might have finished it on... finished that part on the Wii, but I got up to it on and saved on the N64, meaning to go back and haven't picked it back up again.
So,
I don't know...
So are you playing it on the N64 or the
No, I have it on the Virtual Console. I would like to get the original copy because I did just get an N64 this summer, but I was like, you know, I might as well.
About how many years late are we talking here?
Well, I had one as a kid, but I went away for camp over the summer, and when I came back, my mom had actually thought I was done playing with the system, and so she sold it. Yeah. She sold that, the controllers and all the games. So I was really sad, but they got me a GameCube. That Christmas, and it wasn't actually my console, it was actually my dad's, so I didn't really have a say in that matter, but my dad's console, but I was the one that played it, so they kind of saw that I was really sad about that, and they got me a GameCube, which was my first console, and great Christmas. I will say about the partners, though, that everyone really likes in the Paper Mario series, I do like them. I think their designs are really neat, and they are very funny. I feel less tied to them, though, than I do in the subsequent games. Even, like, Color Splash with the talking paint can, I kind of like more than the partners that have been in the original so far. And it's just because they kind of join your party so fast. Like, in the very first chapter, I got the guy Cooper, and he just kind of joins because he wants to come go on an adventure. The Goombario, the little guy that's basically Goombella, he just kind of wants to tag along because he wants to go on an adventure. He thinks he could help Mario. And then you go to the castle to fight the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ripoff boss. They are the four Koopa brothers. And you get put in like this prison area and you just meet this pink Bomb. And I don't really remember her name. I think it's Bomette. But she's just kind of like, how do we get out of here? And you're like, well, you could blow up that wall. And she's like, okay, I'll help you. And so then she joins your party. I feel like you just kind of encounter them almost like they're upgrades rather than they are characters. And maybe the later ones will get better. And that just might be a relic of it being an older game. And I will say that the Thousand Year Door characters might also have that, but because I played it as a kid, I kind of created that narrative in my mind to make them bigger than what they might actually be.
Yeah.
So that could possibly,
to you now.
Yeah, that could possibly be the same situation.
So never play Thousand Year Door again, lest you spoil that first
memory. it's funny you say that though, because
there's always a risk going back, isn't there?
Right, it is.
Totally remember Secret of Mana being way less grindy.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a kid. Actually,
and then I play it now, and I'm like, "Wow, this is rough."
Right.
I love this game, but this is rough.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like, I think that's really cool. I was on the RFN retroactive for Mario Sunshine a few months ago, and I brought up that same point about how I really liked the story that was in that game. Now, as an adult, you look back and you're like, "What story? It's just Save Peach," but Mario's name is needs cleared first. But as a kid, when you play that, it was like the coolest follow-up to beating Bowser and saving Peach in the castle. Like, there's this evil Mario, and he looks really cool, and you have to clear his name, but you're not in the Mushroom Kingdom anymore. In my mind, that was the coolest thing, because I was building up that narrative, and I felt like that was the same thing that's going on with the Thousand Year Door characters, and also can we just call it Paper Mario 64, or do we just call it Paper Mario? I guess. Yeah. I'm actually not playing the Thousand Year Door, but I am sharing it with one of my closest friends who has never really played Nintendo games. I'm kind of trickling one at a time into his life. And we went through Mario 64, and that was a slog, but we made it. We finally got to the end, and that was awesome. And then we played Odyssey, and he loved it. We started Ocarina of Time and got all the way to the Forest Temple, and then we got to a point where we're just like, all right, this game is, we need to shelve this for a while, so that might be a separate conversation, because I have thoughts about
a loaded conversation.
Yeah, I have many thoughts about the Ocarina of Time game, as well as A Link to the Past, but again, separate conversation. And I went ahead and told him, how about we
Paper
play...
Paper Mario, for the N64, definitely first of its name. And yeah. I'm looking right now, and when we did virtual console recommendations, we gave it a recommended for everyone in 2007.
Awesome, yeah.
Recommended for everyone, including Chiron.
Cool.
So,
yeah, we started playing The Thousand Year Door, though, after Ocarina of Time, and he really likes it, and he's, like, not someone that likes any of the Nintendo aesthetic games. It's just been the ones that I've played with him. And he's always been like a Destiny 2, Microsoft, Xbox, all that good stuff. So it is neat to see that it's aged well enough that someone that could play it in 2018 that's never really played Nintendo games could still really enjoy it. I don't think it could be the same conversation with the original on the N64, just because, again, the GameCube version is the same game, just a lot more developed. They really they really went out there. And there are so many comparisons that are almost identical. You know, it's the same quest of save 7 stars, whether they be inanimate objects or they be actual characters. There's the exact same combat system. Although, I don't know if you can counter. That's one thing I've been trying to figure out. I don't know if they added that in the Thousand Year Door, but you can still block. But you know how if you press the B button, you can, like, counter an enemy's attack? I haven't been able to successfully do that, so I think that might have been something they added. Another thing I noticed was that the 7 star spirits that you have to save were in Mario Party 5, which I encountered first before Paper Mario, so it was very odd to me that I was like, wait a second, aren't these the Mario Party characters? And I had to, like, do the timeline in my head. I'm like, oh no, they pulled them. What a weird decision to pull from a Paper Mario game to put into Mario Party, but I thought that was cool. It was a little weird, but yeah, that was just a weird thing that I dealt with. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm at right now.
So Carmine, what have you been up to?
Let's see. I finally started playing Xeno Chronicles 2. I am informed I will be playing it for a long, long while.
Okay.
So
there'll be a remaster before you finish it, maybe.
Hopefully not that long, because that is exactly what happened to the first Xeno Chronicles.
Yeah.
You know, I got it for Wii, and then the 3DS edition came out, and then I was like, wait, I actually haven't played this game yet. Ay, ay, ay. Backlog's killing me. But, I don't know. It's really cool. I don't think I've played a JRPG in a while, and I love this genre, but also I'm a little confused with, like, the battle system. I don't know if it's because I haven't played the previous games in this series, but I just don't know what's going on in that battle. I'm like, okay, I'm doing auto attacks, and every once in a while I trigger a special, and I keep my eye on my HP. But aside from that, I don't know how to, like, instrument the thing, and I think maybe the game is just, like, it wanted to get to the action and the drama really fast, and maybe I didn't read a line of the tutorial.
Mm.
But I feel like when there's a battle going on, I don't know half of the more complicated systems at work. It's like, I don't fully grok it yet. I'm just activating my specials and, you know, getting and brute forcing my way through it. I'm still in the beginning, though.
Yeah, I've heard the battle system's pretty dense, and like it needs a lot of explanation of the systems and stuff, so if you're still pretty early, like, I guess that's going to come, or you could maybe go into the menu and pull the detailed stuff with text a lot. I don't know how it works.
I don't know. I mean, they introduce a concept, but then they never, I don't think they quite explain it so well. And I don't know what the stats are doing and stuff, and it's, I mean, you don't need to know so much in a JRPG. Yeah. If you're not dying, then that's fine. But it's sort of weird. I'm like, I'm having fun, but I don't understand the underpinnings of the game systems yet. So maybe after about another 10 hours, I'll start figuring some of it out. And I still don't know exactly how to combo one blade's specials into another. I mean, I can see in the upper right of the screen, they have it all laid out. But I don't understand how the other person in the party, how they charge up their blades when I'm charging up mine. So there's a lot of mystery to that right now, but I'm just cruising on by with it. Hmm. And actually, like I said, I haven't played any other games in this series. The last game I played The only other Monolith Soft game I played was like Baden Kaitos on the GC, like way long ago. And I could not stand the voice acting in that game. It was just painful. I didn't get very far because of that voice acting. But oh my god, I love the voice acting in Xeno Chronicles 2. Why did no one tell me that it is basically like a dream voice acting cast for me? Because I've got two great loves in life. One is Nintendo and the other is Jane Austen. And when you love Jane Austen, you watch a lot of British television. Uh-huh. And I am a bit of an Anglophile, and like every time Nia speaks in this game, I am like, this is like music to my ears. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a Welsh accent. Oh my. And like I got sunk totally deep into this like obsession hole that
did you recognize like, the actress, or you just like the accent?
No, the accent. I mean, I looked up the actress, and then on YouTube there was nothing but spoiler-filled Xeno Chronicles 2 videos, so I couldn't watch anything like that. But I did spend about an hour on YouTube clicking through videos about the Welsh accent. So I'm just totally loving this game now. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is I'm so happy with the voice acting because I'm an Anglophile.
There was the same deal with the original Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii as well. Yeah.
So they've just got a whole bunch of Brits to like do the voice acting?
I'm pretty sure.
Can they do this for every game from now on? Just like, and then I got to like one character in Xeno Chronicles 2, and I'm like, is she using an American accent? Oh, that's like, weird.
You're like, no.
So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess they're trying to make her different than the other characters, but little bit of a disappointment there. But I mean, it's not bad. It's just I'm like, oh yes, bring on the accents.
Actress-wise, though, I'm pretty sure Jenna Coleman was in Xenoblade Chronicles on Wii, and she ended up being in Doctor Who and now like The Crown stuff like that. Yeah,
really?
Oh my god,
she's one of my favorites. She was in Captain America, Doctor Who.
Yeah, she was. That's right.
Victoria. Yeah. I think she's Queen Victoria right now.
Oh yeah. Oh, she's so fun. Oh. I love Victoria. Do you guys watch Victoria?
I've only seen the first
because it's got Jenna Coleman from Xeno Chronicles 1 in it.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
It says Jenna Coleman voiced, Melia?
Right.
I don't know what that character is, but...
I don't know. I've never played the game, so...
She does not look like Jenna Coleman.
Oh my gosh. So basically, I'm like, I've been sitting on a treasure of British accent voice acting for like years, and I didn't know it, and I've just been depriving myself of this wonder that is Xeno Chronicles voice acting. So
very cool.
Yeah, cool. I'm happy.
So I guess that's all you've been playing recently then, just a bit of Xenoblade.
Well, Xenoblade and pouring money into Fire Emblem Heroes. That might be a discussion for another podcast. I see Donald posts on Twitter, Donald Theralt. He posts on Twitter whenever he gets a 5-star character from the gacha system there. So the point where you're paying the premium currency, which you can get in game, but you're not really gonna get them at a super fast rate that you can get that you can keep going back to that sort of lottery machine pull system there. Yeah. And, he's up to like 150 now.
Wow.
He's exceeded like 150 5-star characters from that gacha, random, like, what will you get? This, a high rarity character, 5-star, or someone 4-star, but with good IVs? And the sad thing is, I think I'm up there with him. I just haven't been counting.
I mean, not played that in a while, but I remember I poured money into it when it came out, and now I'm looking back, and I'm like, you could have just waited. Oh, well.
I've never touched it. I don't know, something about mobile games, I just don't feel like bothering, like, 99% of the time. Even the Nintendo ones.
Yeah. Find it funny that we are talking about two intelligent system games on this one episode.
You want to finish something?
Well, just to say this, I mean, mobile games are a weird thing, but if it's something that fits your schedule, like it's easy to pull out your phone and play because it's always with you, there are good ones out there.
Mm.
But then sometimes you do, like, you are playing something and you're like, well, I'm only playing it because I'm bored and I've got nothing better to do and I actually should do something much more productive.
Yeah.
So there's good games and bad games like anything, and because it's a different piece of hardware, it'll have different sorts of games on it.
Mm.
So something like Fire Emblem Heroes is so bite-sized compared to a full Fire Emblem. But, and it's got that different monetization, but also I think Neil described it perfectly way back when it came out. It's like, it's a fun game, and if you don't care about the characters, you can spend absolutely no money on it.
Yeah.
Because you don't care which character you're using, and you can still get a full experience out of it. So I think that's something. So Fire Emblem Heroes, I think, is not a danger to anything except my wallet.
I'm interested to see how the Mario Kart one pans out. If that's half decent, I might give it a spin. I mean, I downloaded the Animal Crossing one and Super Mario Run and tried those out for a little bit, but I just don't really stick with them.
Yeah, I have no idea how Mario Kart Tour will turn out.
Mm.
I could see all my friends. If it really is just Mario Kart, but like on a smartphone, you're tilting it, I could see all my friends getting that and us all really enjoying it. All my non-gamer friends.
I can't see it being a real Mario Kart, though, because, like, it's just going to... Why would they do that? Then why would people want to buy the real Mario Kart anymore? I mean...
I don't know.
There's got to be some downside to it.
Like, right.
It's so weird. Nintendo lives in this mobile space where they're not just reskinning previous genres that came before.
Yeah.
Like, almost... I mean, there have been gacha games before, but Fire Emblem Heroes is like a strategy game. Mario Run is... I mean, there are games like that before, but yeah, it's like a stage-based randomized infinite runner. Nintendo is making different games on mobile, and they work, they don't work, that's another discussion, but based off their record, I have no idea if Mario Kart Tour will be closer to Mario Kart, or if it'll be closer to, like, I don't know, if it'll be like a version, if it'll be analogous to Super Mario Run to Mario.
Mm,
right. Well, if that's anything like their other games, it's probably going to be a bite-sized version of what Mario Kart is. It's just, how do you bite-size Mario Kart? Because it's not like a one-note experience, but like there's not, like all the other games that they've put out have a lot more substance that you can cut down, whereas Mario Kart is kind of
racing,
just an experience. Yeah, it's racing. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be a gacha game with all the different cart pieces.
And people will say that it's all our fault for playing so much Fire Emblem Heroes. When did they say Mario Kart Tour is coming out? This fiscal year?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
So that could be here in a few months, or that could be at the very end of...
2019.
Yeah.
That could be like March 2019.
Yep.
March, like, 30.
It'll probably be this summer. I can't see them waiting a whole year to put out. Whereas, like, these past few months, they've put out Animal Crossing, Mario, and, you know, they've been fairly consistent.
Mm.
Well, actually, there was a bit of a gap.
They've been behind schedule. They're sort of behind schedule.
Now that
they
I'm thinking about it, never
we're
mind.
We're going to do three in a year, and it took them, like...
A year and a half, Mario Run was that long ago. That's crazy.
Is there a, Zelda one in the pipeline as well, right? Or is that just a rumor?
I've heard people talking about it, but I haven't seen...
I have to imagine there's some sort of Zelda thing coming, like something.
Yeah. Tingles? Rosie? Rupee?
No. I don't think it'll be that. That would be funny,
Tingles
though.
Tingles Balloon Frenzy. It's just, like a match 3 game or something.
Right.
Oh, gosh. Every Nintendo game is like, I have no idea what they're going to do, and it can be horrible, or it can be okay, or it can, like, I don't know what they're going to do. It's exciting.
Anyway, to wrap up what I've been doing lately, I haven't been playing too many games. I was playing Custom Robo on the N64 a few weeks ago. I played, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 hours, maybe not that long, maybe like 5 or 6 hours or so of the N64 game, because an English translation patch came out for the original Custom Robo. So I've loaded that on the EverDrive and trying that out now that I can actually read what's going on. And I'd always been interested in the Custom Robo series. I know it came out on GameCube, but I never really tried it there. But basically what the game is, it's like a, you know, toy robot fighting arena fighter. So basically you go into a battle with somebody and you control your robot, and the idea is to shoot them and dodge their attacks and, you know, take out their life bar. The game's pretty fun. I really liked it initially, but after a little while it becomes clear that there's really nothing else to the story mode aside from getting to the next battle. So there's like it looks like it's an RPG, and you could maybe travel around towns and stuff, and there's a little bit of that going on, but basically everything boils down to just getting through a little bit of story, getting to the next tournament, getting to the next match with somebody. And basically it's just battle all the time. And, I think that's why I stopped for a little while. Cause, it did started to get a little tiring. Cause I was like, oh, it's gotta be something else we could do for a bit, just to change it up a bit. But, it doesn't seem like the game has that much else to offer besides just more of the fighting and gaining, parts to customize your robot. But it's pretty good. And, I don't mind it, so. And the other thing I was looking at this week was I went back to Lost Winds on the Wii Virtual, WiiWare. Yeah. It's a game I bought when WiiWare first came out and, never finished it, so I just decided to try and play it again, because now that I want to add some more credit to my Wii Shop account so I can buy some stuff before, you know, it all disappears. So I was considering Lost Winds 2, but I thought, maybe it'll be better to play through the first one before I go committing more money to the series. And I've only played just past, the initial area, but it's pretty fun. It's basically like an exploratory platforming puzzle game where you use the Wii Remote to, use the wind to guide your character to, jump and float and stuff like that, so it seems pretty good. And from memory, I'm pretty sure people were saying the second one improved on the first, so I can't remember in what ways, but I do remember people being a bit more happy with the second one. Have you played it, Carmine?
I think a long time ago when it first came out. And
I mean, it's 10 years old at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I remember saying, oh yeah, this is a good game. I just never finished it.
Yeah. I think it's only 3 or 4 hours long. So I was like, it's not that big a game. I should really just try and do it. But...
So wait. So you're going back and you're trying to mine the virtual console?
Yeah,
channel.
The end of March, I'm planning to load up my account with a bunch of points, and then over the next year try and, you know, spend it. But I'm trying to get it, formulate at least a list to start off with, to download some stuff. Mm-hmm. Just so I've got it on there. Anything that's half decent. The other one I'm already considering is that Jet Rocket game from Shinen. It's like a 3D platforming game that's a little bit like Mario 64. Mm-hmm. That one always looked cool, but
And I've heard good things about it, and Shinen is always, they always tend to deliver solid games. Yeah. And I think that Jet Rocket franchise has, they've done...
They did a sequel on the 3DS not too long ago, a couple of years ago.
Which I think was also, relatively well-received. So, I think that's definitely one to consider.
Is there anything you would recommend for people like myself, off the top of your head? Anything that you... Because I know you like a big download guy. I think on the... WiiWare, right? You download a lot of WiiWare stuff?
Well, yeah, I downloaded a lot. It's just hard to pick out, a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend, the Monkey Island games, but I think those are also available on PC, so I don't think you're in danger of, losing
going
access
away.
To those.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people have mentioned like revisiting the entire WiiWare thing before, and it's just such a big question because like there's
difficult because there's so much garbage on there too. It's hard to like it's hard to sort of whittle through it all. I had forgotten though, like, you know, they put those art style games on there that were on originally on the GBA. I actually thought those were like just ports of the GBA games, but they look like they're brand new games based off the concepts from those original art style games. So the what's it, Dot Stream, the one where you're sort of racing like a line.
Oh yeah.
That one's completely like different. It's like a 3D perspective and stuff like that. So that might be interesting because I've got the that game on GBA and it's just, you know, like a top down perspective.
Have you talked to Dan?
No, I haven't. No.
Because I think he's been the one trying to put together this WiiWare retrospective. If we're gonna get into it, it's going to take, like, a dedicated effort.
As a friendly reminder, you have until March 26th to add Wii points. Then after that, you can't add any more. But you can still buy things until January 30th, 2019.
That blows my mind. I actually bought some, about 2 years ago, I bought some Just Dance DLC off of the Wii eShop. And I'm like, oh, wow, I still have, like,
that's crazy.
800 points here. I'm gonna buy this song and try it out.
Yeah. Well, that's basically it for my stuff. So how about we move on to the sort of main topic, I guess, for this episode, which is going to be about the Mario movie and how they could, how are they going to adapt the Mario to a film? I mean, there's so many questions. Like, is Charles Martinet going to be the voice actor? Is he going to be just someone, you know, some Hollywood person doing it instead? Like, what's the story going to be?
Is it going to be Ryan Reynolds? Is it going to be Ryan Reynolds or Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito's,
that'd be crazy. Would you want a gruff, like, Italian voice for Mario?
That's how he was before Charles Martinet was around. I mean, Bob Hoskins was Mario in the live-action film, wasn't he?
Yeah. Do you want to see that?
Captain Lou Albano in, like, the TV.
You're right. I guess.
I don't think we need. I think that would work.
You've never seen the current model of Mario with that voice, though, and that's what would be so unsettling.
Well, he should sound a bit younger because Nintendo said a couple of years ago that Mario is actually like 25 years old, so he shouldn't sound like he's 50.
Right. Sure.
He's a very robust 25 and very well mustached.
Yeah, maybe Asa Butterfield will be the voice of Mario. Oh, goodness. So
if we were going to
make
a Mario movie, what would the story be? Would we try and model it after the classic sort of storyline where Peach is captured by Bowser and antics ensue along the way, I suppose.
Probably. I was listening to other conversations about this, and the conversation is all over the place. Some people think it's going to be like Mario's going to be taken out of his world, like they did with the Mario and Rabbids. Yeah, I'd rather him stay in the. I guess I don't know what I'd rather, but like my gut says keep him in the Mushroom Kingdom. When I hear a Mario movie, I'm imagining it's going to be like Peach gets kidnapped and there's going to be scenes where there's comedy between her and Bowser back at the castle. And then it's going to be like Mario, Luigi, maybe a Toad. I guess maybe another character that's made up for the sake of having someone that can talk like completely freely. But I think all four of those characters would have to, you know, have some dialogue. But you do wonder though, like when they are making this movie and, you know, Miyamoto is, I forget what his exact title was, but he's got a lot of influence in this one.
They're not going to just let them do sort of break Mario conventions like what happened with the 90s movie and stuff.
Right, but are they going to do are they going to do just the characters that Mr. Miyamoto has created? like they did with Sticker Star, you know, like he kept to a very certain cast, or are they going to take those characters and kind of dress them up a bit, and like they do with like the RPGs that everyone really likes? Are you going to see like toads and bow ties and stuff like that? Like, I don't know. I think that makes more sense for a movie because it gives it a little bit more variety to look at. But again, I don't know. That could be very telling of what kind of games they're going to push out in the RPG series later on. Mm. But and then going back to the voice thing, I was thinking about it, like Mario has a very with Charles Martinet's voice, he does have a very Mickey Mouse kind of quality. And that character has been in hundreds of different films. And, like, his voice, I guess, I would never really call it annoying because usually you can listen to it and be like, oh, yeah, that's Mickey Mouse. So maybe they're going to try and go something like that where they will give him, like, a voice that, like, I guess you could call it annoying at first glance, but, like, you know, oh, that's Mario, that's what he sounds like, and so you let that go. I don't know. It's a weird line.
Yeah. I think Martinet could tone it down for a more conversational, like, Mario, like him doing full sentences. I think he could bring it right down so it still sounds like Mario, but it doesn't sound like he sounds like in the games, like the really
He does his improv, you know, at all the events he goes to. Go to his Twitter, his Instagram right now, and he'll do the Mario voice on, like, every one of his posts. So, and it's not just him going wahoo, I mean, many of them are, but he does do a lot of, like, just talking back and forth with kids. Going. So,
That was always like a really neat part when, was it at E3 when in line you could talk to like Mario like that?
Sometimes they
do that at conventions and they've got like a big display and you're actually talking to Mario and Charles Martinet is on the other end of it.
And,
just interacting.
From a business perspective, I mean, I think it would make sense to cast him because he's not just the voice of Mario. He's also Luigi, and he's also Wario and Waluigi. And I think he did Donkey Kong once. There's a lot of characters you could get out of him that you, I guess it depends if you're trying to save money, which I know Illumination does, but also they want to make this a big movie because it's a big IP.
So arguably want a big name on it.
Right, they're going to want a big, like,
the big name is Mario, guys. I don't know what else you need.
Yeah,
You want to have a blank as Mario. No one, I mean, I love Charles Martinet, but no one in the mainstream knows who he is. It's going to have to be...
But they know Mario! I mean, I don't know. There's always this weird... I've always felt this, like, this tension in animation between, you know, way back when it was Pixar and Dreamcast, right? And you could see Pixar casts no names or people who are like character actors as their voices.
Mm.
And they do stories. And then Dreamcast is the one with all the stars and like, you know.
You mean DreamWorks? Is that what you're talking about?
DreamWorks. Sorry.
I was like, the Dreamcast?
I knew what he was talking about. I was trying to think of what the actual name was. I couldn't remember.
I'm like, so, I mean, I want the best voice actor. I understand why you want to cast a big name, but, I mean, if Mario is there, isn't that big enough a name for you?
Well, it should be, but I'm just thinking, like, the heads of studios and stuff that, like, don't understand. They know who Mario is, and that's where it ends.
It's a corporate thing. Like, regardless of what we think, and, like, that's a very, I mean, I agree with you, it's a very fan thing to think, because it makes sense to us. But for them, like, they're going to want to attract as many people as they can to see the movie because it's got Mario's face on it. I mean, it's super easy to see, like, Justin Timberlake will be Toad, you know? Like, that's...
it's going to be like, the Troll movie with Justin Timberlake. He'd be singing some song,
I mean, he did Theodore in Alvin and the Chipmunks, and he was one of the Smurfs, I thought. So, like... It's not that far off.
But that's how these, like, animated sort of versions of, like, these classic properties goes these days. They announce, oh, yeah, the Smurfs are coming back. Okay, here's, like, all these A-list stars as the roles. Like, Trolls was the same. Like, they just filled it with, like, people like Anna Kendrick and all that.
Those sort of people. You're right. I was thinking of that Minions would be a great, like, counterpoint. because it's minions, right? It's,
yeah.
There's practically no voice parts for like the main cast, the main characters, mm-hmm. and then it's all supporting characters. But oh my gosh, this cast list: Sandra Bullock, John Hamm, Michael Keaton, Allison Janney.
Oh, wow. It's not just that though. I mean, that's just the minions. If you go back to their latest movie, which is Sing, I mean, they hired Scarlett Johansson, Tori Kelly, Reese Witherspoon, Matthew McConaughey, Seth MacFarlane, I think, was also in it. And there was they bring in A-list names just for the sake of their voice acting, and because they have a name, you always see like the different shots of the characters, and then it'll have their name, just black background or whatever special effect around the name. It's as I've gotten older, I've really noticed a lot of this corporate stuff, particularly with Disney. But yeah, I'm going to remain optimistic, but I'm not going to expect.
Well, it's not like these people do bad jobs. It's no, just like, no. And I think like a lot of it is also they want to finally make a movie their kids can watch. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes an actor will say, "Oh wow, I've only been doing like R-rated movies, and I've got like a 4-year-old. I need to be in a Disney movie. Get me in a Disney movie."
Right. And
explain to my child what I do for a living.
Yeah, and a lot of people were really bummed that Illumination, like I feel like all of the clickbait titles when this announcement came out was that, oh, Illumination, the people who did the Minions are doing the Mario movie. I was excited about that. I know that they have the reputation of having the annoying Minion characters and that they do cheap films.
The Minions.
But they're a very successful company, and Universal has great ties with them. And there's no way Pixar was going to do it. They've really never gotten an IP outside of Disney.
I didn't expect Pixar to do it.
Yeah, like so much. I've heard
Pixar has their own stuff.
Right. Disney owns Pixar. You know, if they were to do it, then they'd have to work with Nintendo. And that would be very weird if they're also working with Universal for their theme parks.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. It makes sense when you consider that they've partnered with Universal for the theme parks. They're going to partner with a Universal affiliated studio to do the movie, aren't they? Like, it just makes sense, really.
Would you rather been like DreamWorks, the people who did Shrek? I mean,
I love the Kung Fu Panda movies, okay?
Kung Fu Panda movies are solid. Actually, there's a lot of solid studios out there now. Like, you see this, you see Blue Sky, you see Illuminate, you see the Kung Fu Panda movies are making me grudgingly enjoy DreamWorks movies.
Right. I was kind of hoping Laika would be a candidate. I know that they don't really do...
Oh my gosh.
They don't do like the what you see now because their movies take so long to make. But Nintendo and Laika, they are very similar with the way they like to present their product, and it's all handmade. And I think that
too similar.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. I don't know. Would you go see a dark, gritty reboot of Yoshi's Woolly World?
Yes, I've always thought that Yoshi was a dark, gritty franchise, you know.
Like you see like the woolly Yoshi and like this needle at the sewing needle just impales him and he's like, "I'm fine." Oh, that'd be great. I'm excited for it. I
appreciate what Illumination does, and they do good I think they do good animation. It's the scary thing here is how will the story be? How will the voices go, you know?
Honestly, like, I would take it as a kid's movie. I would rather be happier with it being a kid's movie, like a really kid's movie, like what they did with
the... It shouldn't be a kid's movie, though. It should be an all-ages family movie.
I really don't
want them leaning in on the, like, lame jokes, like, lowest common denominator type jokes.
Right.
It just really cheapens it for me and like makes things like less timeless.
Okay, have you watched the Smurf movies that they've done?
Sony has done the animated one.
Yes, the Sony animation has done I think at least three now. The first two were like the CGI Smurfs in the live action world. And then they did a third one, which was all entirely the third one, like, it was not a bad movie. It was actually very pretty. It was very well done. But, like, I could tell this was made for kids. It was definitely, like, I would never say it's a bad movie just because, like, I didn't laugh at it. It was like, okay, this is not... I enjoyed it just because I thought it was pretty.
Well, at least it was the Smurfs. I mean, like, the other two movies, like a lot of those other things were saying, like, the trope was, yeah, they went to the human world, they interacted with Neil Patrick Harris, and, like, the Smurfs were their side characters in their own movie a lot of the time.
But I would much prefer the Mario movie to be, like, that third Smurfs movie in comparison to, like, what the... If they were to take Mario out of his element, I think that would be a big mistake. I think that if you're going to do it between those two, and I'm not saying that those are the only two options, but I'm just making that comparison for this. If you were to make this, I would rather it be the latter. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for it, I guess. I don't know. Parts of me are kind of like, oh man, I hope this is good. I was the same way with Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, oh man, please be a good movie. Because, like, the
But I mean, at that point, they'd have made, like, how many Spider-Man movies?
Right, you know? Right.
And Spider-Man's... Spider-Man's not exactly a hard property to translate to screen.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they still make good movies, bad movies, but it's not like translating this, which, like, we only have the one example, which was, you know, the Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, Samantha Mathis one, which I watched a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And somebody in our movie club at work insisted we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how much money was spent on that movie for very specific things, and how little was evident.
There were times in that movie where I was like, why does this have to be this way? Like, Mario had a girlfriend that was basically Pauline, but they didn't call her Pauline, even though, like, the character looked kind of what the live action would look like of her. They just didn't call her that. Like, small things like that even were like, what? Or, like, Mario is kind of Luigi's dad, but they're also brothers, even though they share the same last name. I don't know. It was a weird thing, man.
Did you watch it on Blu-ray, Carmine?
Yes. Oh, actually, I'm sort of happy we watched, like, the high-definition version, because I feel like it made it way more viewable.
I was just going to say that there's a really good documentary about the making of it on there as well. So if you could check that out, it's pretty interesting.
Uh-huh. Is it a production that's, like, just so weird that it's no wonder the movie came out the way it did?
Yeah, it's been a few years since I watched it, but it was pretty interesting about how things happened and why certain decisions were made and stuff. But yeah,
I think just weird the camera placement on that movie is what I can't get over. Sometimes some of the shots in that 90s Mario movie are from, like, I don't know why we're shooting this scene from, like, the character's feet sort of thing.
Going back to the story of, like, this new Mario movie, though, would the opening 15 minutes of the movie, like, the setup, would you try and explain and contextualize the Mushroom Kingdom? Would you try and explain where Mario comes from, why he's living in the Mushroom Kingdom, or would you just sort of, like, let it go and say, oh yeah, this is Mario, he lives in the Mushroom Kingdom, he's does this with his brother, blah blah blah.
Yeah, there's a lot of approaches you could take. I mean, you could do the classic route of almost like what the storybook is opening. Instead of that, you could have it just being like an NES is sitting out in front of the TV, or you see, like, some actual kids playing, or, like, maybe some animated kids playing it, and then they leave, and then the camera kind of goes into the NES, and then you see the world of the Mushroom Kingdom. Or you could just black screen to the skies above Peach's Castle, and the narrator's just like, once upon a time, I don't know. There's different approaches, and I don't know how much that matters to me, other than I'm curious to see what they're going to do. You know, I know they're really specific about what they want to do. I remember when there was that news about when Bowser was going to be in Wreck-It Ralph, and how particular Nintendo was with something as simple as how he held his teacup when they were in that AA meeting, you know, and how he had to be bigger than M. Bison, who was sitting next to him, you know. Like, they were super weird about how particular they wanted it, and I think that being a long time ago, they were a little more controlling of their own characters. But even then, you know, it's, if they were that controlling over that, I'd imagine that it's going to be just as much so for this movie. Maybe a little pullback, but we'll see.
What we have now with the Mario movie is they've agreed to work to make a movie, right? But there's no, they don't have anything yet. Probably they have ideas.
Yeah, didn't they say they're targeting like 2020 or something?
2020.
Maybe.
It's going to take a while to make this movie.
I'm sure they've got writers like thinking about it already, like pre-production writing.
Yeah, that's what's happening now. Miyamoto and I forget the gentleman's name who is directing it, but he had been in talks with Miyamoto already for 2 years about what they wanted to possibly do. That was like the beginning of the pre-production. So it would not surprise me if they're in that script phase right now. That usually takes about 2 years, sometimes 3 years, and then the animating takes another 2.5 years or so. The video games are a little quicker to make than a movie. So it's going to be a while. I wouldn't surprise me if here in the next 5 years or so, there's going to be a big, like, all right, the theme park's opening, the movie's coming out, and there's a video game. It's going to be like, this is all in, you know, at that.
So is there going to be a game based on the movie?
The movie, the video game.
Yeah, that'll probably be the joke. That would be amazing.
And made by a third party that isn't Nintendo.
Yeah, but going back to what you were saying, Nicholas, about what the story could be, again, like, how much substance is there that they could actually use to create?
That's not
like,
trying
to.
I'm scratching my head. There's really no story in Mario. There like, is Peach gets captured. Peach gets saved.
You have to do some creative liberties. Like, I mean, again, with that Smurfs thing, that's just on my mind because I watched it. Like, there's not a whole lot of substance to the Smurfs, even if you watch the cartoon. Like, it's just kind of a one-note story over and over again. Yeah. But what they did with that was they kind of introduced other characters that were. Like, I guess they gave Smurfette, like, her own origin story, and then they made it a long journey. So I could see it being, like, a big journey through, the different weird worlds of the Mushroom Kingdom, just finally on the big screen. Yeah. But, like, again, all the characters from these games are designed to be, like, the best kind of video game enemies. They're not meant to have a story attached to them. So, like, are we going to find out about Petey Piranha's dark past, or are we going to... finally find Donkey Kong's secret treasure?
Let's put Birdo up front and center.
No, that's 2018.
Let's explain her.
They're going to come to a sheer cliff and be like, how do we get across? And then Lakitu is going to fly down and be like, quick, everyone, jump on.
Right. That would be very funny, though, if there's like a very political scene with Birdo. You know, like they just kind of nudged that in there. Oh, goodness.
Like, there's so little to work with, and there's so much that could be horrible.
What's weird, though, is that, like, a scene like that, no one would understand but the people who are, like, diehard Nintendo fans, because no one understands the transgender, like, issues that Birdo has. So if Mario and, like, Ko were to, like, jump down a warp pipe and, like, go into the underground world, and then, like, look over, and Birdo's, like, in a sauna, you know, with some other Birdos, and it's, like, a super weird scene for, like, everyone in the movie except for the people who like know what's going on. I don't know, that would not work, but yeah, my mind's kind of racing with stuff like that. But
I definitely have to be in the midnight showing then, because I want to be that guy at the midnight showing who gets all the in jokes and everyone's like, I don't understand.
Just the one guy that's
you're
laughing.
The only one laughing in the theater. I was like, oh, I know that guy.
I'll be like, yes, Birdo!
The little kids the next year is like, what's that in his mouth? And you're like, it's just an egg. It's fine. yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the substance...
It's so weird. I mean, I you can't go with just... I mean, maybe you can. If you can get a simple story, but you can tell it well, then you can, you know, basically get away with the very simple story structure. But... it's just would be so weird for it to be like the nth Princess. You have to spin. I feel like you have to spin that, don't you? Like Princess Peach gets captured by Bowser, and you can't even have. I don't even know if in a film setting you can just, you know, every once in a while cut away to her. That doesn't seem like something that I think is complex enough.
See,
to film.
You'd have to find the heart of what you're trying to tell, like what's the underlying theme of the movie. Is it, you know, it can't just be like
what is the underlying theme of Mario.
Yeah, you'd have to do that, like an example would be like using Peach as you know, she's like this princess, but maybe she holds no real power, and she's sort of trying to find her own voice and ruling the kingdom, and then she gets kidnapped by Bowser, and that's sort of like a test for her as well. I'd probably have, you could do the story with Peach getting kidnapped, but I think that that could even be moved to the first act, and then she's saved by Mario, or something happens, so like, she's separated.
Maybe from Bowser. That could be like the opening thing, which unrolls into a bigger thing.
It sort of stumbles into a bigger threat. Just get it out of the way. Maybe Bowser teams up with them at the end. Or
You gotta wonder though. Bowser is a question mark.
Let's just reshoot Super Mario RPG as the movie.
That would be
okay. The people seven would stars, be happy if Gina is collect there. All of them.
Yeah, Bowser is a bit of a question mark though, because you gotta wonder: is he going to be used for comedic effect? Is he going to talk?
I think
he
will, because like he hasn't been like a credible. Just a credit, like a threat for, like,
they're gonna have to like establish his motive, like they're gonna have to.
he's been goofy since 64.
No one's been scared of him for the past 10 years.
Yeah, well, you gotta like wonder, like, what's his goal here? Like, is he in the games?
Maybe that's the thing in the movie. What's Bowser's internal struggle?
That will be their joke the whole movie. Why Bowser? And he's like. Like the very end, like he's like, and then the camera goes to black, and then that's the credits roll.
Actually, are they going to show us in movie form the Toads getting transformed into the bricks, and then Mario coming along and crushing them?
Oh my gosh, no! That would
Bowser's
be really
magic
funny.
At the start turns everyone into bricks, and then we see Mario just smashing them.
Bowser's such a likable character.
I wonder if the Koopalings are going to be in those scenes, and they're going to help like with their. I mean, love them or hate them, they do have a lot of personality, and I think that they could be really funny.
It's a prequel to Mario Sunshine. That's how Bowser Jr. comes around.
Oh no, the mom.
I still need that unpacked for me. I'm sort of lost as to what the resolution was to that, or if that kid is just like.
I think it's just basically Bowser was that isn't there. Bowser was lying the whole time, and Bowser Jr. believed him for some reason.
The thing is, when he said at the very end, "Junior, I've got something difficult to tell you about Princess Peach," and then Bowser Jr. cuts him off, and he's like, "Yeah, I know. She's not really my mama." And then Bowser just kind of like looks at him and his mouth is wide open, and it's kind of implied like, "Peach, what'd you do?" Like, I don't know. That's a very like open to interpretation scene, but yeah, I don't know. That's probably not going to be in the movie.
that's just like.
Yeah, do you think that they're going to put music in this movie, like modern day, like pop songs and stuff? Like, do you think there's going to be like a. Probably not singing, but or at least none of the characters.
Only if the modern day pop songs are takeoffs on like Nintendo.
I hope they're not real songs. I hope they're made specifically for the movie. Like when we enter Toad Town, it's going to be like when Belle comes into the town in Beauty and the Beast, but it's the Toads going singing something like "Hi Mario" in chorus.
I could see Daisy like leaving her house and like, "Bonsoir, mademoiselle." And then Waluigi comes up and he's like, "Belle?" And he's the guest on of the game.
With his hat like always.
Yeah. That would be hilarious if this whole movie is the
power ups to sell.
I want Waluigi as guest on.
Oh, Waluigi, yeah.
That would be very funny.
If the first Mario movie is sort of like the more classic interpretation, sort of like an adventure film, I think a sequel to it would be interesting to be like a Luigi's Mansion adaptation.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Like a Ghostbusters type thing would be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? I think I'd be so much less apprehensive about all the possibilities if this was a TV series. I'm like, animated CG TV series. You only have to like work on like 20 minutes at a time and make that internally consistent and make that not suck in and of itself.
Yeah.
Maintaining, a narrative.
90 minutes.
An audience's attention for like 90 minutes is, and to get them walking out of a theater and saying, that was a good use of 90 minutes instead of sitting up from their couch and saying, "Oh, well, that entertained me for 20 minutes." That's a much higher bar. And I mean, nothing bad about 20 minutes, but,
it all hinges on how their, it's all hinges on their approach, really. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. But, so say
did you
it's...
guys ever read the Game Boy comic books from Valiant?
No.
I mean, I know, that was an interesting interpretation because that was based off Super Mario Land.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that was about, so that was a mix of real world and game, because like the game is its own world, but then the bad guys in the game find a human who will play the game and bring them out of the game, and then they start taking over the real world.
So it's like Captain N or whatever?
Yeah, it's sort of like Captain N in reverse. Like, okay, the bad guys came out of the video game to attack, to like try to take over this world and get, who is it in?
That was actually the plot of the Super Mario Brothers live action movie, if I recall, that Bowser or King Koopa wanted.
Oh yeah,
to
he was going to come out, but
yeah, he was trying to escape.
Was interesting. Yeah, because it was like all the video game characters were video game size still; they were all small, and they were like trying to build their video game machinations in the real world, and Mario would like have to fight them and get them back into like the Game Boy.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Valiant comics were an interesting take.
So do you guys think that they will, if this is, let's say this is successful, do you think they're going to do a sequel next, or do you think that they would branch out into the other IPs, like Metroid or Zelda or, Pikmin?
If this is a big success and they decide to go more in, like, do more movies, you'd probably see a sequel to Mario, but it wouldn't be, like, the next one.
Right.
Luigi's Mansion.
They probably
then
would.
You go for the Luigi's Mansion follow-up.
I mean, they're doing two, sort of doing two at the moment. They're doing Detective Pikachu. I know it's sort of a game, like a Game Freak thing, but Pokemon Company thing. But there's like two big Nintendo-themed movies in production now. So,
do you think that Luigi's Mansion is the follow-up, or do you think it's like Donkey Kong or, like? Just a continuation of the Mushroom Kingdom. Like, I don't know. I would love a Luigi's Mansion movie, but that seems like such a different...
Again, I think, like, it would be easier to follow up with the TV series.
Yeah.
Because then you can explore all these things and you're not taking as much risks in terms of, like, having to come up with that...
They almost did a Metroid movie back in, like, 2004 or whatever, but that got cancelled.
Yeah, there was rumors for a while. Like, I think they even sold the rights. Oh, maybe not sold the rights, but... Yeah, there was stuff happening with the Metroid movie at some stage, but... Yeah.
Right.
I feel like, I don't know, I get really excited about it, and then for all the similar reasons, I get scared, but, like, every once in a while, I, like, sit down and I'm like, who would I cast in a Metroid movie? It's like this little game I play with myself, like, every year, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen Jessica Biel in a while.
Jessica Biel.
Or, you know what? Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
I think this could be a really good Olivia Thirlby vehicle. Or, like, oh, come on, Camilla Bell. All these great actresses, man. We just need them. We just need a movie.
What about Emily Blunt? Would she be a good Samus?
She could, yeah. A fully formed one. Could it be an origin story with Emily Blunt?
Yeah, totally. I think that, I don't know, I'm trying to think of different actresses who could play her, and, like, she just kind of came to me, the first one. I don't want to say she looks
her
like
in the Edge of Tomorrow mode, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she could totally pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the majority of the movie, you're not going to be even looking at her anyway. So.
Oh no, she'd have her helmet off quite a bit. They're going to give her screen time.
That's a difficult proposition. There's not many actors who can act under the bucket.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, there's Carl Urban and that sort of it. People who we see in a lot of movies but never see their face.
That the guy that played Bane in Batman and Robin, Jeff, he was a wrestler. Jeff Sweet?
Tom Hardy?
No, that's...
Oh, Batman and Robin. Okay.
Yeah, Batman and Robin, what was that?
IMDb.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, every once in a while I get these crazy ideas for a Metroid movie. Like, now I'm thinking, oh, it should be a multi-generational thing. There should be, like, Samus should be like the apprentice bounty hunter to a senior bounty hunter, and they should find a girl, and only at the end do we know which one of the three is Samus. You know, after they go through like a lot of stuff.
How do you reconcile the Chozo and stuff with that though?
They don't. I mean, movies love to
too deep into it. I mean, maybe they discover it in the course of that movie where like they discover the power suit, or maybe the. You have to change the story because Samus can't. Well, in this treatment, Samus couldn't be raised by the Chozo. Mm.
So, going back to the Mario movie, your Chozo comment kind of. I mean, if you want to keep talking about Metroid, we can. But
we're gonna wrap up in a minute, so we'll just wrap up this. Yeah.
Sure. Your Chozo comment made me think, like, if it's gonna be a Mario movie, it's gonna be like as many tie-ins to the main game that you're. If they can, because they're trying to transition a video game to a movie, so like you're probably going to see them go on a journey to different areas. Like, there's probably going to be the grassland and then like a very pretty water scene, and then you're probably going to see some booze and stuff. Do you think that they're going to like incorporate like, oh, we're going to fly, but getting like these power ups now, so we can like, what power ups would you pick? You know, like, do you pick the cape or the tanuki leaf or?
If you have like a final showdown where it's like all of Bowser's armies, which is like all of like where the movie is more about building a coalition instead of Mario and Luigi going on a journey all their own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you can have all the power ups. You can have Toads in
wearing
like
all the powers, yeah.
Yeah, in the Kuribo's shoe and everything, and
yeah.
You can just have like a giant showdown at the end, and it would look like Ready Player One, except with all Nintendo characters.
Yeah. Do you think that they would like use the Invincibility Star as like a gag because the music could like complete like it could be a dead
running through and plowing through.
It could be like dead like silent, and then like a star touches somebody, and then that annoying music starts playing, and they all get really annoyed because everyone has to experience it. Like, they're self aware almost. I think that'd be a really good gag. Or I don't know. There's so many things. Like, why would you just randomly hit the question block? Like, what you have to explain. I guess if you want it to be all generations, like, why are they going to hit the question blocks? I mean, I guess they see that and they're like, oh, that's my impulse is to jump and hit it.
Yeah, I am finding it so much more difficult to picture this in a movie than it is to picture myself doing the same thing in real life at Universal Studios Super Mario World, a Super Nintendo World in Japan, when I go there in about 5 years. You know, right. If I see a question block in real life, I am going to jump up and hit it.
Right.
I'm having difficulty visualizing this on screen.
Yeah, and like,
how do you explain what the purpose of it is? Like, you're going to have to... Right. Make up some excuse about why.
And like climbing the stairs and jumping the flagpole, like if they're going to throw that in there. I'm not saying you have to throw every freaking trope in, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that just could be in the background, but I.
So maybe you think it has to be like a super origin story where we see Mario get and Luigi get like sucked down the pipe.
Oh, that'd be weird.
A la the cartoons.
I thought that they changed it. I thought that they weren't from Brooklyn anymore and that they were just from the Mushroom Kingdom. I could be totally talking
not in like those
butt.
80s, 90s cartoons because right. The I opening thought that, like, sequence has them going through the pipes.
I mean, like recently, like they changed. Like the Koopalings aren't Bowser's kids anymore. Apparently, I thought that they changed.
I mean,
it
the start of Yoshi's Island shows them getting.
Yeah,
delivered, so,
that's true. That's true.
You have to probably just assume that's the story.
And you got to think like the layout of this world, like. It would be weird to just have like a bunch, like a big open plain with some like random blocks floating in the middle of the scene. I just think like from a cinematography standpoint, like how do you make that interesting other than relying on just what the objects themselves are, you know? I think that it could be.
Probably better just ignore them. And, the power ups are just like things that are, I don't know.
When I was talking about my if there's going to be music in this movie, I think that they could do something like I don't know if you saw the Emoji Movie, but there was a really cool scene with the Spotify where they were like riding the waves of the music. Or if you saw Madagascar 3, they did a really cool like circus scene with the lots of neon rainbow lights and stuff. I could see them doing something like that where they go down through the pipes into like the pipe world. And it's like this big, like we're sliding down and there's water and sparkly rainbow stuff flying everywhere. It's just a very cool visual thing to look at, and they could use the power-ups to make it more interesting. And maybe they're like, oh, I've got a fire flower now because I accidentally hit that block. Now I can, like, shoot cool fire and hit the piranha plants. And, like, there's also, like, a hip-hop or pop music playing on in the background. I'm not saying that that's something we would want, but, like, I could see that in the movie.
Yeah.
You could see, like, a movie producer saying, you know, then they go down this giant water pipe and there's lots of music blasting and there's colors and lights everywhere.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, like...
it's
like
a very movie thing.
Yeah, like, they did that in the Smurfs movie, you know, with the river that, like, was floating above the ground. Like, yeah. It was just this... Yeah. I mean, from a narrative, it's just, okay, they went down the river, but, like, they made it this big thing. I think if they're really going to try to, they're just going to take the elements of the Mario series and try to flare them up in a cinematography standpoint. I would imagine that's going to be a lot of this. But I'm saying that, and I'm also thinking, like, this is all ideas I'm pulling into it that are from other studios, where this is Illumination, and they haven't really done that before. They did, like, very heartfelt stories, like, with Despicable Me and Minions. It's a lot of gag humor. They don't do a lot of those very big visual scenes, so that would be really cool, but and now that I'm, like, thinking about it, I don't know if Illumination would do that.
I think just a bit about the gag humor. I'm not too... Well, they can do it, but, like, I feel like Minions is a bit of a red herring, because, like, I don't think their stuff is gag humor, really. I think they just... Once they had Despicable Me and they said, oh my gosh, we're sitting on these characters, then they just went full bore on it, but I don't think it's...
Right,
They are main
and drugs. I don't think that the Goombas are going to become the next Minions. I think that that would be... I don't think that Miyamoto would let that happen. I think that the Minions are going to be their own character. And I don't think Illumination or Universal would be cool with it if they copied their own idea, because then that takes away from what money they're making with the Minions anyway. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. One thing I do want to... I did just remember now. I think... Didn't Miyamoto say something about, like, Mario is about being brave or something? Like, that's... You boil it down to it, he's got to, you know, something happens and he has to be brave and he has to...
Yeah.
And that's why he has to rescue the princess. There's something for him that makes him have to be brave.
Mm.
So, I don't know if... Just pulling it back, maybe that's the core you build this around. I don't know how that would be, like, contained in the story.
He and Bowser have, like, this really dark past that they keep kind of flashbacking to, but they're not showing the whole story. And it's like that scene in, like, The Hobbit where they're, like, on top of the volcano in Mordor, and he's like, just throw the ring, Mario! And Bowser's just like, okay.
I guess, all right, I just thought of something to wrap up this with, we're forgetting one thing though about Mario as a character, and that is that he can jump higher than, like, everybody else. That's, like,
yes.
His jumping ability is, like, what he's renowned for. So
right,
maybe like at the start he's just like everyone in Toad Town and that. He's like, oh yeah, Mario can jump higher than anyone. Isn't that cool? And he's like, he's never had to use it before. He's like,
that would be a weird story if, like, their whole, like, all the Toads are fascinated with his jumping. Like, wow, Mario, you got the hops, dude.
He's doing, what's the sport where you jump over the pole?
High jump.
He's doing high jump over Toads. He's like, you can jump over four Toads.
Or, like, Mario, like, he's out in Toad Town and there's, like, this group of Toads and, like, they're all kids and they're bullying the smallest Toad. And then when the bullies leave, he's like, don't worry. Someday you can have the biggest jump like me. And then they both jump. That's like a really weird movie cliche, but like seeing it in the Mario would just be like, I don't know.
Actually, Mario is not the main character in the movie at all. Like he's a legend inspires his new character to go on an adventure. And Mario is tangentially involved.
Toad becomes Captain Toad and then never jumps.
He's there to get made fun of at the start and then never seen again.
Oh man!
No, I think he'll be in it, but
he's gonna
get left behind
with the vacuum cleaner.
He's gonna be like Shaggy from Scooby Doo. I think he's gonna be very much like, I don't want to go down those pipes, and then like the Mario and Toad are like, too late, and then the hip hop music scene starts.
Toad is becoming more and more a compelling character in like Mario games. It's like, wow, Toad is, you know, Toads have attitudes. Toad goes on adventures of his own.
Yeah, that Toad I mentioned earlier, the one that Mario inspires to jump, becomes Captain Toad, and he never jumps in the game.
Yeah, Captain Toad doesn't jump. Yeah.
Actually, a Captain Toad movie would be really good, I think.
I would love a Captain Toad movie.
I do like to think that the like, you know, there's the, what is Yoshi and what is Toad? Like, I like to think that those characters become, like, the Yoshi and, like, the Captain Toad of what Nintendo has now, like,
yeah,
from the beginning.
Should that be, like, the short, the animated short before it?
Captain Toad.
Dixie Pixar style. Yeah. We'll have a Captain Toad cute. Animated
that'd
short.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think I have no reservations about. Once the feature film starts, I don't know.
Yeah, I always thought if Nintendo did movies, I thought it was going to be a Metroid movie with, like, a Mario short in front of it, but I guess that's not happening. So,
I mean,
I feel like shorts is just perfect for them, because the Pikmin shorts were actually pretty decent.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, I loved them. They were great.
They could even, just thinking on that, they should strike a deal with Universal to, or even Illumination or whatever, to do shorts before all of their animated films. Like a Nintendo themed short. That way you're getting exposure without committing to like a full movie.
Yeah, and you know,
a 5-minute short before an unrelated film sort of thing.
Yeah, Universal would eat that up if they could like advertise every single, like, all right, this is going to be the Luigi's Mansion short before Hotel Transylvania 3. Yeah, I don't remember if Illumination's doing that or not.
Oh, yes!
But they are, actually.
Actually,
Transylvania 3!
I take that back. Hotel Transylvania 3 is coming out in the summer, because it's supposed to be a summer movie, not a Halloween movie, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
I really like that idea. And honestly, if like this movie thing turned into, well, we changed our minds, we'll just make a TV series, or we'll do something like that, I'd be perfectly happy. The movie bit is scary to me.
Yeah, real quick, Hotel Transylvania
sure
3
is
Sony,
snap
not Illumination.
At some point. One of the properties is going to go to Netflix. I have to assume that's going to happen.
Wasn't the Zelda rumor for Netflix?
Yeah, that was rumored.
The speculation?
That didn't make sense to me.
Zelda's another one I have so much difficulty envisioning.
I don't know. The original rumor was like it's like a Game of Thrones light for younger kids and stuff, family entertainment. You know what I mean? Like a serialized
Game of Thrones, but for the younger kids.
Yeah, so there's so not like, as much decapitations and stuff.
Wait. So basically Game of Thrones without all the stuff that people watch Game of Thrones for?
So, like, just in terms of structure, I'm talking. Like,
so what does it become? Like Legend of the Sword? That
Legend
two episode
Adventure of Link.
There's a thing. What is it? Legend of the Sword, based off like the Wizard's First Rule.
I don't know. That's a podcast for another time. talking about the Zelda thing, but a 10-episode season for a few years of Zelda would make sense to me.
I will say, as a fine art student that is pursuing a career in animation, this is like the perfect time to be alive as I watch one of my favorite characters enter the big screen, and also one of the scariest times to be alive, because you're like, I don't know if this is going to pan out well, but I'm going to remain optimistic.
Okay, just a note, it was Sword of Truth.
Okay.
I think that's what it was called. But yeah, what you were saying about this being a good time. This is actually, like I said, I feel like there's a lot of, there was a time when there was so few animated movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hand-drawn or computer animated that were quality. There's a bit of a dark space. And then now it just seems like there's so much talent out there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we're sitting here afraid of it, but I'm not so much afraid for the quality of the animation. I'm just afraid for the movie.
The package as a whole sort of thing.
Yeah.
The process of animating movies, I don't think has... I mean, I'll say it's gotten easier, but it's still very time-consuming. But it's so much more accessible now. Like, a lot of early animation was very kind of boys' club, behind closed doors type of thing. And now the information is out there. And really, even if you're not an artist, you can go into animation because it's so much computer work. If you just take those tools and do like what is asked of you and you don't have an artist's mindset, you can still do animation And if you are an artist, I mean, that's perfectly fine. You have some more of that creative liberty. Like, that's one of my coolest passions about that field is that really anyone is able to do it if they have the patience. I'm not going to go into a whole tangent because I know Nicholas wants to wrap this one up, but yeah.
It takes a lot of patience though, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. Like 5 years, just for the animation alone. And you know, the screenwriting takes sometimes even longer than the animating itself, especially with Pixar's movies because they focus on the story so much.
Well, the story in pre-production is like the most important part of an animated film because once you sort of you need to lock stuff down so you
can change it. You can't change it. Right. Yeah. That's why, like, with animated movies, there aren't really that many deleted scenes as there are, like, just cool concepts that they were working on.
Yeah.
I know when Zootopia came out, they did change the script about halfway through, and they had to eliminate, like, a whole chunk of the world that they had created, and it just went back
snap.
Yeah, and it was like this big carnival world. The art director actually came to my school and he showed us it, and it was like this whole like animal amusement park after dark thing, and they ended up changing it the way the story went because they wanted it to be a bit more crime focused in the city and not like out on the beach.
Yeah.
And so they just put that stuff back in the Disney library.
In the vault.
Back in that vault. Well, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to end the episode. Yeah, thanks.
Wait, just after we heard that it'll take 5 years for this movie to come out?
Right.
That's what I'm walking away with?
It's going to be a while, man.
Yeah, well.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe not 5 years.
Rewatch the old Mario cartoons in the meantime.
If it's already been 2 years with the pre-production, with Miyamoto and the other people talking, I think it's going to be like 2021, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be a
good
while.
Timing.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, thanks guys for coming on, and that's it for Connectivity. If anyone wants to comment on the episode, they can hit up the talkback on the website or email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, bye. Thank you.